Christ's recognition that we would be willing to face anything in this world, anything in this life. Take your Bibles. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 6 tonight. Proverbs chapter 6 as we open up God's Word again. Last week was Mother's Day, and I thought it was fitting for us. We had to get to Proverbs 31 at one point or another, but we took the whole time and preached a message all from Proverbs 31, and we looked at some other characteristics of wicked women that we encounter in Proverbs, but we spent this time in Proverbs chapter 31, and really, I'm sure for our church, we're familiar with that passage. But if someone who had never read the Bible before, someone who had never read that passage before, if they just were to sit down and read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, and then we noted this last week, but one of the greatest things that they would walk away with from that passage is, wow, that woman is a hard worker. I mean, I was listening to one pastor preach on that passage, and he said, he was talking to his wife, and his wife asked him the question, when does that lady ever sleep? I mean, there are verses where it talks about her candle goes not out by night, and she rises while it is yet dark. And verses that talk about, you know, she girdeth her loins with strength, she strengtheneth her arms, strength and honor are her clothing. She'll rejoice in the time to come. She has no fear of the future because she's worked diligently in her household. And that was one of the things we brought out, just the diligent spirit that a wife and a lady should have in her home, towards her husband especially. She seeks to do him good all the years of her life. But that brings up the subject of diligence, and that's what we're going to be looking at for the next couple of weeks. Because Proverbs has a lot to say both about a lazy person and about the diligent person. And the concepts of diligence and laziness, this is something that even is in the world today. Like, you go work a job, and that boss is going to be looking for someone that is lazy and someone that is diligent. They're going to honor the person that is diligent. This is not solely a biblical concept. Most people, just by the common grace that they have, recognize the importance of diligence in their lives. You look at different athletes and the immense training and working and the effort that they put into developing a certain skill. You look at musicians and the discipline and the effort they have to put into their lives. Pastor was mentioning about the basketball player this morning who spent 8 hours a day dribbling and shooting and working to develop this. And so the concept of diligence, we're very familiar with it. But familiarity with something can be a bad thing. Because if we're not careful, we start to define it in our own terms or in the world's own terms. So what I want us to do tonight is let's go back, okay, what does the Bible, and specifically the book of Proverbs, how does it define diligence? And what does it mean for someone to be diligent? I remember when I was in college, I was struggling to get my assignments done, and I was busy. I was a very busy person. I was working like 30 hours a week at another job and then also trying to finish up my senior year of college. And my roommate at one point came to me and said, Nathan, I don't get it. You're very diligent. And I looked at him and I was like, well, you don't actually know me that well then, because I could be way more diligent. But that just shows that one person's definition of diligence, he looked at me and he was like, oh, he's a busy person. He must be a diligent worker. Whereas Karis still laughs with me this day about how often she tried to get me to have a planner so that I would know what things were due and to be diligent in planning ahead. She would tell you that. But that's why it's important for us, okay, then what does the Bible define as diligence? What is it that God wants from us? And yes, this is a big thing on the outside. You can look at a person's life and usually see whether that person is a diligent person or a lazy person. You can generally observe that. But I want us to get even deeper than that tonight and say, okay, what is at the heart behind the lazy person? What is in the heart of the diligent person? Because we could conform to something on the outside, but if there's no change in the heart, if there's no right priorities, right affixation towards God, if our heart is not in the right place, then all of this is worthless. All of this is worth nothing. And so we're going to start and we're going to look at characteristics of both the lazy person and the diligent person, but then we're especially going to try to target in and say, okay, what is the heart behind this? What does it mean to be diligent? What do I need to change deep down inside of myself to get that right focus and Godward orientation to accomplish that? And so I hope we will evaluate the outside. We will evaluate, okay, does my life line up with these characteristics of a diligent person? What ways do I look like a lazy person? that I hope will also get even deeper and say, okay, why am I being diligent? What is it that's causing me to be lazy? What is it in my mindset, in my orientation towards God? What is it that makes me lazy? Because if we don't change our position towards God, we're not going to be able to change. We need to make sure we have that right heart. We've turned to Proverbs chapter 6, and this is a very familiar passage. Proverbs 6, and we'll just read verses 6 through 11. We'll be jumping all over, but I thought this would be a good place for us to start tonight. It says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Let's pray and ask God to be with us as we open his word tonight. Father, thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would speak through me this evening. I pray that I would shepherd people to this passage and, Lord, really to the book of Proverbs, and that you would challenge us to be diligent in the way we live our lives. And Lord, that it wouldn't just be an outward conformity to disciplining just the outside, but Lord, that we would discipline our hearts and that we would have the right heart to motivate us to be disciplined and diligent in our lives in every single area. We ask this for your sake. Amen. You notice this is part one. Tonight we're going to look at the destruction of laziness and the glory of diligence, really doing an overview like we've done so often. What does Proverbs say about laziness? What does Proverbs say about diligence? Those are going to be our 2 points for tonight. But then I also want to spend some time, and this is what we'll get into next week. Okay, what are the spheres of life that require diligence? Because again, everyone defines diligence a certain way. And some person will say, well, diligence means waking up in the morning at 4 a.m. Diligence means that you're running every single day. Diligence means you have a good workout plan. Diligence means you have a good diet. Where other people say, no, that's not what diligence is. Diligence is being a hard worker at your work and giving everything for your work. And what I want to look at next week, and because I think it's important for us to take the time and say, okay, yes, it is good to be disciplined physically. It is good to be disciplined in every aspect of our lives. But what are the areas that the Bible highlights and says are so important as a Christian that I need to be disciplined in? So that'll be next week. We'll look at the different spheres of life that require diligence. But for this week, we're just going to look at the destruction of laziness and the glory of diligence. So let's start now with the destruction of laziness. And the phraseology there, the destruction of laziness, what we're going to see as we go through is laziness is very destructive. It destroys lives. It ruins lives. And the words that you have in Proverbs that talk about laziness and everything, there's really just one regular Hebrew word. In our King James translation, usually we'll either see the word sluggard, and we saw that here in Proverbs chapter 6, not sluggard, and not slugger as in the Royals mascot. This is a totally different thing. I think it took me a little while as a young boy growing up to realize that, what a slugger was as opposed to a sluggard. But really the root word of the words behind sluggard, and then you have slothful. You have the sluggard and you have the slothful man in Proverbs. And those are the primary words termed laziness. And those are the examples that we have. But even just in those words, okay, slug and a sloth. And I know sloths are very intelligent creatures and slugs are very intelligent creatures as well. But from a human standpoint, you watch these things and they're just so slow in everything that they do. And that's really just what the basic Hebrew word means. It means that you're slow to do something. They may still get it done, but it's just this general slowness. And so that's just a very brief overview of that, but let's look at the specific characteristics that we see in the book of Proverbs of the lazy person. Well, first of all, they waste their time with ease. I apologize, there should be the word waste in there. They waste their time with ease. You look at Proverbs 6 and verse 9, which we just read. It says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." And you look in the book of Proverbs, and one of the primary descriptions of a lazy person, they just love ease. They just want to sit back and sleep. And Pastor overslept this afternoon, and I can get on to him a little bit. That's not what we're talking about. Naps are good. But it's just a person that just loves sleep. They can't get themselves up in the morning. They spend more than 10 hours a day, 10, 12, 15 hours a day just lazing around the house, sitting on the couch. And there are physical limitations that cause some people to have to do that. But for the general average human being, that's not characteristics that we should embrace. That's characteristics of a lazy person. They waste their time with ease. Secondly, they're not teachable. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 26. We'll come back to this when we get to the heart of the lazy person, the heart of the sluggard, the heart of the slothful. But in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 16, very interesting verse. It says, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." And we won't explore every aspect of that passage, but basically what it's getting at is here is this sluggard, this lazy person, and in his own mind, he is wiser than seven really smart people. He has seven people giving him really good counsel and advice. And guess what? He says, "You know what? No, I know better." He's wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can give a reasonable answer. You talk to these guys and you're like, "Man, that is a wise person." And then that person goes and talks to the sluggard and the sluggard says, "Actually, I'm wiser than that. I know what's best." And part of it is just them making excuses to make themselves feel good about themselves. But a sluggard is someone that's not teachable. That's not the only characteristic, but that is a characteristic of a lazy person. They just don't want to be told any differently. If you're there in chapter 26, we just read verse 16, where it says, "A sluggard is wiser in his own conceit." But then look at verse 12. It says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit?" It says, "There is more hope of a fool than of him." Not being teachable, that's a characteristic of a fool. That's a characteristic of the worst of fools. And so for us in our life, and again, we're evaluating, I want us to look through this and say, okay, what aspects of these are true in my life? What reflects this in my own life? Am I wasting my time with these? Am I not being teachable? Well, Proverbs says if we are not teachable, if we're wise in our own conceit, it says there's more hope for a complete fool than for me. And so we need to guard that. We need to watch out for that. That's characteristics of a lazy person. They also just don't even try. They don't even care. They don't even try to work. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 25. Proverbs 21 and verse 25. It says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." And as we'll see, sometimes you can get a lazy person to start down the right road and they'll stop. But often for a lazy person, they're like, okay, you're asking them, "Hey, can we go do this?" And they'll raise their hand. "Does that involve work?" "Yes, it does." "Okay, no, I can't do that." And it's laughable, because I mean, but every once in a while you come across a person that'll literally say that to you. And you're like, "Are you kidding me? Life is work. There's going to be hard things that are there." But for a lazy person, they say, "No, you know what? I have my limits. Nope, is that involve anything outside? Does that involve anything, you know, where I have to sweat a little bit? Does that involve anything where it's going to be a little painful? Okay, no, I don't want anything to do with it then." They have this desire. They're like, "Man, I want to do this. I want to be able to dunk a basketball," some guys will say. "Okay, well then go get in the gym, go put on the ankle weights, go start working out." "Oh, never mind. I don't want to do that anymore." So they have all of these desires, but it kills them because they just refuse to do the work. So they don't even try. If you look over at chapter 22 and verse 13, we'll see another aspect as well. They make excuses. And really, the excuses that Proverbs talks about coming out of the slothful man's mouth, they're really laughable. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." And yes, this was in older times. Yes, this was over in the Middle Eastern area. But it's just as laughable. There were no lions just running through the streets there in Israel at the time of the Proverbs being written. Really what he's saying is, "Oh, you know what? I think it's going to rain and there's 0% chance of rain." Or, "Uh-oh, there's a cloud in the sky. A storm's coming. I better not go mow the lawn." Or, "Oh, you know what? I have to go to work tomorrow. I better go back to bed so I can be all rested up instead of doing something I need to do. For a slothful person, they'll grasp at any excuse that they have not to work. And sometimes they need their excuses because what we just saw in them not being teachable, they are prideful in their mind. They're wise in their own conceit. And so they use these excuses to justify their own reasoning. And the people looking in on the outside, they're like, are you kidding me? I mean, it's laughable. There's a lion. It's going to devour me up. Oh, you know what? So many people die in car crashes, so I just decided I'm never going to drive a car my entire life. That way I'll be safe. Well, yes, but some people get struck by lightning in their houses. And, you can do all the different percentages and everything like that. But they'll use any excuse that they can not to have to work. Fifthly, they cannot be trusted. Proverbs has a lot to say about trusting in a lazy person. Turn over to chapter 10. And we are going rapid fire here. I recognize that. We'll take some time to settle in when we get to the heart of these things. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 26. It says, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. And growing up in the mountains of North Carolina, we built a lot of fires. We would go camp out, and some of my friends would have a little too much fun with fire sometimes. You can do some really neat stuff with it. But there would be times where you're just sitting there and the fire's starting to die down and the wind starts blowing at your direction and your eyes, they just start smarting and it's utterly painful and it's just irritating. The vinegar on teeth is irritating as well. And someone that hires a lazy person and puts their trust in him, and maybe here it's talking about, sending them to go do something for them. Hey, can you go do this for me? Oh, yeah, I'll go do that. Well, like check back a day later. Oh, no, I haven't done that yet. Check back another day later. No, I still haven't done that yet. That's irritating. A lazy person cannot be trusted. And maybe you've come to a point in your life where you're like, man, I don't think that person trusts me anymore. Well, could it be a fact that they look at you and they say, you know what, I don't know if I can trust them to do that for me. They're lazy. I can't trust them to accomplish what I've given to them. A lazy person cannot be trusted. They also don't finish their work. They don't finish the work that they've started. Because sometimes they do start different things that they like. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. It says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. The slothful man was out there hunting. He got something. He shot it. He was out doing some type of work, sitting out in the sun hunting or whatever. But he doesn't roast it. He's like, oh, this was fun for a while. No, you know what? I think I'm going to go do something else now. That they lose their motivation. They don't keep it up. And we all know this in starting a project and working on different things. It's really exciting at the start. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna work diligently at this. We're going to get this done. We're going to get this church clean. We're going to get this built. We're going to get this landscape project done. Man, we're going to get the house clean and everything like that. Oh, yeah, let's go. And maybe you get 3/4 of the way through, and you would think that last quarter is the easiest part because you're like, oh, the end is right there. But I know I've seen in my own life that as soon as I see the finish line, you know what mine's saying? Oh, you know what? Just act like you've already crossed the finish line. You know, oh, man, that finish line looks so nice. Man, I wish I was there already. Maybe I should just stop right here. That's the spirit of a lazy man. They don't complete what they've started. But lastly, and this is something that I really do want to emphasize, they are not righteous. In Proverbs 15 and verse 19, they're contrasted directly with a righteous person. Proverbs 15, verse 19, it says, the way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns. And we'll get back to talk about what that means. But notice, it says, the way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns. But then it contrasts it with the way of the righteous is made plain. And again, I probably haven't spent as much time on this as we could have. But when you get to Hebrew parallelism, you have these different categories where it's either going to be right saying the same thing, where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Okay, fear the Lord, have a knowledge of God. Those work hand in hand together. Or you have places where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise. You have the but there contrasting it. You're either going to fear the Lord or you're going to despise it. Those are the contrasting things there. Well, here it contrasts the way of the slothful man with the way of the righteous man. And what it's saying there is if you are a righteous person, if you claim to be upright, then you better not be a slothful person. A slothful person cannot equal a righteous person. That's not to say that Christians don't struggle sometimes with this. We absolutely do, just like we do in every aspect of the world. But if we're going to be a good testimony to the world for Jesus Christ, there better not be any slothfulness in our lives. That's not promoting righteousness. That's not righteous there. We don't have time to turn there, but one commentator pointed Matthew 25:26, where Jesus calls the slothful servant in that parable, he calls him a wicked servant. Again, just to show that this is throughout the Bible. Someone that is slothful, that person is a wicked servant. Matthew 25:26. And so do we have any of these aspects and characteristics in our own life? They don't necessarily point to a laziness that's there in every aspect of our life, but if there are any aspects of this on the outside of our lives, okay, let's say, okay, maybe I just lose motivation easily. I start a project and I don't finish it. I have all these projects around my house that have never come to completion. Well, is that a sign of laziness in my life? These are warning signs for us, little red flags to say, okay, I now want to go a little deeper. What is it that's going on? And I want us now to get to the consequences of laziness, and then we'll turn to the heart of laziness. We'll just go through these quickly, because many of them we're familiar with. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 15, which we just read, we talked about the hedge of thorns. But what that means is that the slothful person is just going to have a difficult life. You think about trying to walk through thorns. And that's hard. You want to make sure you're wearing jeans or some good thick pants or a thick skirt or something like that to make it through that. But it's hard to walk in that. And it contrasts it to say, no, the way of a righteous person, they're on the highway. It's like a person walking up here on the ridge of the mountain, not a steep ridge, but this flat, level ridge of the mountain. And then you have the lazy person, and the picture here is they're walking through all the underbrush. They're walking through all the thorns. Their life is very, very difficult. And really, they bring that upon themselves. For a lazy person, every type of work is extremely difficult for them to do. And as a person engages in harder work, then work becomes easier and easier and easier. For some people, getting up in the morning at 5 a.m. and going to the gym is not a chore at all. They've developed that habit and they even enjoy it. For me, please don't come knocking on my door at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning and get me to the gym. That'll be very painful and difficult for me. But a lazy person, they just have a difficult life. If you turn over to chapter 18 and verse number 9, we see also they destroy opportunities. They waste these opportunities. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 9. It says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. And we're not just talking about throwing away your food from the plate, like that type of waste. Just, oh man, I didn't eat all of my vegetables. I just wasted some food. That word waste there is translated other times in Proverbs, destruction or destroyed. And so really the idea here is a lazy person, it's not just that they waste the opportunity. Oh man, I missed out on an opportunity. Bummer. No, it's you just destroyed that opportunity. You're not going to get that opportunity back ever. It's completely gone. It's completely wasted. It's like a city that's been laid waste is the idea of the word there. And so a lazy person, they just utterly destroy opportunities. And then this doesn't come as a surprise when you think about laziness. In Proverbs chapter 24, and many other places in Proverbs, but Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34, it says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of thy hands to sleep. Just a little sleep. Just a little slumber. I'm just going to rest a little bit. But what happens is, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. As we give into laziness, as we give into that, then we're going to fall into a state of life that's just poor quality of living. And that's just very practical. It says in the New Testament, if you don't work, neither shall ye eat. And actually, go ahead and turn there. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11. Because oftentimes in Scripture, we are told that we need to be providing for the poor. Absolutely. I hope we do seek to take care of the needs that especially are in our church, but even the needs around us in our community. We should be doing that. Proverbs commends that very well. It says, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And what you give, the Lord will repay again. We should be being nice to the poor. Not every person that is poor is lazy. Please understand that. But with that being said, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Okay, what are we talking about, this disorderly conduct? Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were here with you, this command we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And what Paul is writing there in this epistle is he says, look, we left you an example. We could have had you pay us. But he said, we were commanding you guys, if you don't work, don't eat. And he said, I was working and you could have been paying me. I have right to that. But he said, just to make it super clear, he said, I even went above and beyond. And he said, I didn't let you pay me anything. I worked extra hard to earn my keep. So he looks to them and he says, I'm giving that same command to you. If someone is not working, they should not eat. And so we see in Scripture, yes, we should be providing for the poor, but a poor person that is poor as a result of their own lack of effort, their own laziness, the Bible says, don't worry about taking care of that person. Let them learn their consequences so that they can then get back up and start working again. If a man does not work, neither shall he eat. Those are the consequences for laziness. It's a destruction. We destroy opportunities. We destroy our lives with laziness. But let's talk about the heart. And again, this is where the rubber meets the road. I had a teacher at Bob Jones that would say again and again, and this is something I grew up hearing both at the Wilds and from my own parents, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. If we're going to get down to the root issue going on with laziness, we need to get inside our own hearts and say, okay, what's going on inside? What is it that causes me to lose motivation? What is it that causes me to not work diligently? Well, we mentioned this under characteristics of the lazy, but really, you have a love of ease above all else. You love relaxation. You love easy living. And that's a desire of the heart. We're getting now into our desires. What is it that I want out of this life? For a lazy person, they just want the life that's going to be easiest for them. They want a life that is just easy for them to live. And with that, it's a temporal focus. A lazy person does not look at the big picture. They don't look down the road. Okay, if I don't work right now, I'm going to have consequences later. Now, the lazy person says, what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes? You know what sounds nice in the next 5 minutes? I think I'm just going to sit here. I think I'm just going to hang out on my phone. I think I'm just going to sit here on the couch. And those 5 minutes go by. Oh, you know what sounds good for another 5 minutes? Same thing. And little by little, because they have no focus of the big picture. They just have this temporal focus. They love ease. And again, even just thinking about a temporal focus as opposed to an eternal focus on heaven, if I am only living for this life, and again, we see this in Scripture, then eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we'll die. Let's just party it up right now. I mean, why work hard if this is all that there is? And so if we have this temporal focus, both not thinking about tomorrow and then not thinking about eternity, then that's going to cause us to be lazy. And ultimately, if you want to get to the root of the root of the root, it's a love for self. It's a focus, what is going to make Nathan most happy right now in this moment? What's going to make me feel most satisfied? What's going to satisfy those desires that are in me? Well, you know what? I think watching this movie is going to do that for me. You know what? I think sitting here on Facebook, you know, I think just going to bed or just lying on the couch and staring at the ceiling, that sounds really nice right now. Why don't I just do that? Well, if I'm only focused on me, if I'm only focused on loving and doing what I feel is best for myself, that's what's going to happen. And so we need to watch out for these characteristics that point to this deeper love of just ourselves. Where it's, okay, what sounds good to Nathan right now? Well, you know what? I'm just going to relax. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to start. Secondly, we're going to look at the glory of diligence, but we're going to start with the heart of diligence. Because I want to contrast these two hearts. And really, this is how the Christian life works. We look at our characteristics, we look at how we're living our lives, and we say, okay, you know what? I just said a lie. That's wrong. Then we say, okay, I just said that lie. Now let's think, why did I tell that lie? And we ask the question why, and we get deeper into our hearts. Now, I want to be telling the truth. And this is just basic biblical counseling. I want to speak the truth. Well, instead of just saying, don't lie, tell the truth. Okay, why did you tell that lie? Why do I need to be speaking the truth? So we start with our actions, and then we say, okay, that was a wrong action. Let's get down into the heart. Now, while we're in the heart, let's say, what's the right heart to have? And then out of that right heart, the fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit. It's not something that we work hard to tack on. No, it's something that will naturally come out. When we have the right heart, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and all of these wonderful things. And so if we get the heart right, it'll be much easier for that fruit to be producing. And so that's even why I've taken this order that I have in looking at, okay, here's the bad characteristics. We're diving down into the heart. Here's the heart of laziness. Now let's contrast that with the heart of diligence. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. Because some people, especially in the world, their motivation for diligence, and you look at them, they're a very diligent person. And the world honors them, and they're like, man, that is a self-made man. Man, look at that man's business. That's just wonderful. Look at all the money he's accumulated. And most people in the world, the motivation that they have for diligence is wealth and increase. But in Proverbs chapter 23, it makes it very clear that's not the motivation for a righteous person that has true diligence. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 4, it says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly take themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And here Solomon's writing, he's challenging his son. He says, yes, be diligent, but don't do it for this reason. He said, yes, if you're diligent, this will be a blessing that comes to you. But if you focus on riches, he said, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Those riches are going to disappear. Labor not. Don't be diligent for riches. As we'll see later, that is a blessing that comes to people that are diligent. They will have a better life. But if that is my focus, then my diligence is going to fall right as soon as I get that money that I want. If a person is motivated to be diligent by wealth and riches, and as soon as they win the lottery, that's the laziest person in the world. They've got their wealth and their riches. So if we're going to have true diligence, it cannot be motivated by wealth and riches. It also can't be motivated by recognition from other people. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 25, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And I want us to turn over to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to notice a couple things here in Colossians chapter 3. We're very familiar with Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. But I want us to look at a few verses surrounding that. Colossians chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse number 22. Colossians 3 verse 22 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And what we see here in verse number 22, he's challenging the servants, work hard for your masters, but do not do it to please them. Don't be doing this out of a fear of man. Don't be doing this so your boss sees you and says, wow, you're a great person. I'm going to give you this promotion. Because as soon as you get that promotion, you're going to start being lazy again. Don't do it as men pleasers. But what are we motivated by? We're motivated by a love for God. We're not motivated by pleasures in this life. We're not motivated by recognition of others. If you look back down to Colossians 3, verse 22, it says, don't do it as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. The verse we're very familiar with, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. You see that idea of diligence. Give it your all. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You notice under the heart of laziness, we have three different points all saying, okay, this is what the heart looks like. Under diligence, there's only one positive thing here. Because in verse 22, it says, work in singleness of heart. Really, for everything in the Christian life, our only focus, our only motivation should be a love for God and wanting to honor and glorify Him. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That's all we need. God has a command in Scripture for me to work diligently. Well, He has saved me. I love Him. Therefore, I am going to work diligently. Not because I want to be rich. Not because I want other people to see me. No, because I want to serve and I want to please God. Because the work that we do here on earth, God is pleased with. Whatsoever we do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Don't do it for just your boss that's over you. I hope they're pleased with your work. But guess what? That boss is going to disappoint you at some time. And you're going to be very tempted not to work for them. Our marriages, in working for my wife and her working for me, our spouses are going to disappoint us so often. It's going to be hard for me to love Karis at times, but if I'm loving her because I love God, and I know that my love for her glorifies God, God's never going to change. I will never lose that motivation. And so for everything in our lives, especially in the area of diligence, and really every aspect, if it's not done out of a fear of the Lord, a reverence toward God, it's worthless. I have Proverbs 31 and verse 30 there on the screen. And we looked at that last week. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And that's at the end of a passage that's just laid out how diligent this woman is in all of her work. And it summarizes it by saying, you know what, I could have just said this lady fears the Lord and I wouldn't need to go into all of these details. What does it mean for me to be diligent? Well, that means that I'm motivated only by a fear and a love of God. Not for wealth, not for increase, but a love for God. So that's the heart. We need to make sure everything we do is motivated. Okay, Lord, I love you so much. I was even just talking with someone yesterday, an unsaved lady. And I was sharing with her how all the other religions of the world say that you do good works to gain God's approval. You have to do something in order to get to heaven. And she said, well, why would you do good works if you can just be saved and go to heaven? If good works do you nothing, why then do you do good works? And I got the opportunity to explain to her, the reason I do what I do is because I love God. And it was a challenge for me when I was talking to her saying, okay, Nathan, is that actually why you're doing everything that you do? But that's what the Bible says. Everything that we do, do it to the Lord, not to men. Not because we need to gain a special favor from God. No, because I fear Him and I love Him. That's the story of the Christian life. That's the heart of diligence. Lord, I want to please you. I'm going to work heartily as to you. Ephesians chapter 5, if we're focused on God, if we have this focus beyond everything in this life, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, it says, Lord, teach us to number our days, so that we may turn our hearts to you and not to do evil. And that's what we need the Lord to give to us, where we recognize, you know what, Lord, my time on earth is very short. I only have so long of a time here on earth. God, I want this life to count for you. Lord, I'm just a stranger, as we sang earlier tonight. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. There's another song in our hymnal, only one life to offer. Take it, Lord, use my life. And if we recognize the short time that we have on earth, that'll motivate us to be diligent. Again, not a focus on the temporal that the lazy person has. A diligent person looks at the future, not just in this world, though, but they say, Lord, compared to eternity, this moment of hard work that I'm putting in right now, I'm going to have an eternity of not necessarily rest, but peace with God, where it's not hard to do the right thing. I cannot wait for that, where I have a right heart, a right motivation. It was interesting this week. I took some time on Monday to go ride my bike. Of course, it was one of the hottest days we've had yet this year. It was like 95 degrees outside. And I just was like, you know what, I'll go out, I'll bike for 7 or 8 miles, I'll do what I can, because I haven't been working out as much as I'd like to, and I'm trying to get back into a routine. I didn't know this would be used as an illustration later, but I go out biking, and I'm biking, and I'm like, man, I really want to stop. I was like, you know what, I think I should check in on Kara, see how she's doing. I should just pull off here, send her a quick text, hop back on my bike, and keep going. But really what I was telling myself is, no, Nathan, if you stop, you know, the rest of your week, you're going to have regrets about not doing that. Nathan, you can endure this for 10 to 15 minutes longer, and the rest of the week, you can say, look, I did it. I did it. I didn't stop. Well, just think about with eternity. Right now, it seems painful to do the right thing. Right now, it hurts to be diligent. That 30-minute mark of my 45-minute bike ride, that it was like, I just want to stop. I just want to quit. But I was like, you know what? I can hold out for 15 minutes longer because guess what? I have the rest of the week and I can look back and say, yes, I did it. That's how it should be with our lives. If we would get our focus off of the diligent work that we're having to do right now and recognize an eternity, I do think we'll be able to look back on our lives. There's going to be a time where we stand before God and give account of the things that we've done. Well, on that day, I want to look back and say, you know what, Lord? There were many failures that I had. But praise God, there's not one extra failure that I can add to that because I was diligent in this circumstance. I was diligent in this circumstance. If we get that eternal perspective, that helps us have motivation to be diligent in this life for now. We're going to move quickly through then. Okay, if we have this heart that's recognizing the future, that's motivated out of a love for God, what are the characteristics that we see in Proverbs? And I'll just mention as well, and hopefully your mind's already thinking this, and with the heart of diligence, that's not just something we see other places in Scripture. Remember, Proverbs started out, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Everything we do needs to go through the fear of the Lord. And so that's what the heart is, having that fear of the Lord and a love for Him. But then what are the characteristics that we see here? And really, there are different words. I mentioned there was only one main Hebrew word used for laziness in Proverbs. It's not true of diligence. There are three different words that are primarily used. In Proverbs chapter 10, in verse number 4, if you go ahead and flip there, again, we won't be able to see all of this because of our English translation, but the idea here is the idea of enthusiastic work. Proverbs chapter 10, in verse number 4, it says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Again, there is that promise of riches there. But that the idea behind that word diligent, this is the most common term used, the most common Hebrew word under the word diligence that we have in Proverbs. It really just simply means to work with enthusiasm. To have that, hey, let's go, we can do this attitude. Where you hop right to it, you have that joy. It's not a burden for you, or at least you don't show it to be a burden. It's not that you're dragging your feet, you're like someone that's stuck in the mud. It's like you're walking on the, okay, yeah, let's do this. Let's get right to work. Here we go. And so if we have an attitude towards God that says, Lord, I want to be used by you, then we'll have an enthusiastic attitude when something hard comes into our lives. Okay, Lord, here's an opportunity for me to serve you. Lord, I'm going to need your strength. But I'm going to go forward with enthusiasm. I'm going to work diligently in this. They work with enthusiasm. If you look over to chapter 11 and verse 27, we have another aspect of diligence here where we need to be setting our focus. In Proverbs 11, verse 27, it says, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him." And we won't get into exactly what this verse is talking about, but the word diligently there, it's paired with that idea of seeking something. And so if we're going to be diligent, that means that our focus is set in on something. When we have a job in front of us, we have that focus that says, okay, I'm going to get right here on this job. We're not distracted by all the other things that are around us. I used the illustration a couple weeks ago of a dog with his toy. You hold up that toy and that dog is like, I am focused on that toy. When you hold up a toy, a dog may not even jump at a squirrel. Whereas if a dog's just outside, I mean, he sees a squirrel, man, he's going after that. But if you have his toy in hand, and he knows you're about to throw that, he's like, who cares about this squirrel? I'm focused on that toy. Well, if we're going to be diligent, one of those characteristics mean we are zoned in on what we are doing. That doesn't mean that we don't allow time for a family member to come in. Or really what it means is we need to have our priorities right. If work is your priority, then yeah, you'll tune out your family. But if your family is your priority, yes, you'll be focused at work. But then when someone comes in and needs to talk to you, you'll say, oh yeah, hey, I can talk to you. But if we don't set our priorities right, if we don't know where our focus is, okay, this is my focus for the next 30 minutes. I'm going to zone in on that. Okay, here's my focus for this. I mentioned at the start, Karis kept trying to get me to get a planner. And that would have been a good thing for me to do more of in college. To say, okay, here's what I'm going to do here. Here's what I'm going to do here. Here's what I'm going to do here. Because we need that focus to stay diligent. We diligently focus and seek something. They set their focus. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. Proverbs chapter 22, a very interesting verse. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. It says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And again, we can't see what's behind the word diligent here, but this is different than either of the other two Hebrew words in the other passages we just looked at. The idea behind the word diligent is to make haste. Some people translate it skillful, but that's not talking about the idea of being talented at something. Can I tell you, as a musician, one of the worst things you can say to a musician when you walk up to them after they've done something is, man, you are really talented. You know what that musician is thinking in the back of their mind? They're thinking, if you only knew how many hours I practiced. It's not talent. And I remember even my parents, they would force us to practice. And someone would come up to them, oh, your kids are so naturally good at that. And they're like, no, they're not. You don't know all the effort and the work that went into that. No one becomes good at something without any work. Some people are naturally better at things than others. I'm not arguing that that's not true. But someone that is excelling in a certain skill set, that means that they're focused, they're diligently working, and they didn't put it off. Procrastination does not help you develop a certain skill set. And part of being diligent, and again, the idea even behind this word diligent here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29, is they make haste to get right to it. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16, this is from the same Hebrew word, the same root of the Hebrew word. It says that their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. That's from the same root of the Hebrew word, making haste to do something. So you have that idea of diligence there as well, where we just get right to it. We don't put it off. Okay, Lord, I'm going to work with enthusiasm and I'm going to get right to this. I'm not going to put it off. That's the characteristic of someone that is diligent. But let's look briefly at the rewards for diligence here as we close. The rewards that you have for diligence. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. You will have no lack. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. I'm going to read verse 13, chapter 13 and verse 4 as well. So the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You see something that you want. Well, the lazy person is going to be like, no, you know what? That means I have to work in order to get that. They desire it and they have nothing because they're not going to do the work to get that. But a diligent person, they're going to be satisfied. They're going to be willing to put in the work to see something accomplished. And again, if our heart is in the right place, then what we want to accomplish is going to line up with what God wants to accomplish. Maybe you see an area in your spiritual life where you're like, man, I just can't get victory in this area. Well, God says, if you're going to be diligent and you're going to work with me on this, then guess what? I'm going to help you accomplish that plan for your spiritual life. I'm going to help you read through the Bible in a year this year. I'm going to help you do more this year. I'm going to help you be able to do this. But we need to be diligent in pursuing that. You're not going to have lack. Monetarily as well, a diligent person, and again, this isn't our focus, but a diligent person is going to have an easier life, even just financially, than someone that is lazy. Chapter 12 and verse 24 says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute," or put under forced labor, you could say. A diligent person, what happens is they're going to be promoted and put in charge of more and more. We see this in the workplace all the time. But in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 19 through 23, this is the parable of the talents. And in that passage, Matthew 25, 19 through 23, Jesus says to these people, he says, "You have been faithful in little things. Come, I will set you over much." And this is talking about eternity. It's a picture of eternity in that parable, where Jesus says, you know what, you were faithful in the little things that I gave to you in life. You were a good steward of the gifts that I gave you. You were a good steward of the church. You were a good steward of your family. And because you were faithful, I'm going to set you over greater things in my kingdom. And so this isn't just true practically. It's very true practically. A diligent person is going to be promoted before a lazy person. That just goes without saying. But it's also true for eternity, where Jesus says, if you're faithful in just this little thing, you're going to be promoted and you're going to have greater opportunities later on. So, I'm just going to put these two up here, because this is the bottom of everything that we talked about. There are rewards, there are blessings for being diligent, but those should not be our focus. And which one of these hearts, you've already jotted this down in your notes, these are just copied from the other. But is your heart the heart of laziness? Do you just love rest and ease above everything else? Maybe you have that temporal focus in your life, where all that you focus on, okay, is the next 5 minutes. Or maybe even it's just the next year. Or maybe it's even just your life here on this earth. But you have this temporal focus where you're focused on what's right in front of you. Maybe you see in your own heart just an abundant love for self, where everything that you do is motivated on what is going to make you most happy. Well, that's the heart of a lazy person. Those need to be rooted out. And instead of a love for self, we need to replace that with, okay, Lord, I need to have this love for you. God, I want you to be first in my life. I don't want to be number one in my life. And again, we've said it before, but you cannot love somebody that you do not know. And so you say, well, I want to love God better. Number one place to start, let Him talk to you. Let Him talk to you through Scripture. Go through the Psalms. Write down characteristics of God. We've been memorizing Psalm 103 in Kids Club. Meditate on that. There's so many wonderful truths about God. He forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouths with good things. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. Go on and on. Memorize passages. Put them in mind so you can say, yes, I love God. He's worthy of my love and admiration. And then pray to Him. Talk to Him. Develop that relationship with Him. This is how we develop diligence in our life. And then once we have that right, say, okay, now I'm going to start putting these things in place that show to others that I have this diligent love for God, and that I am going to diligently seek to live my life for Him. And I do hope, even as I mentioned in the conversation I had with that lady just the other day, I do hope as Christians, our motivation for what we do is not to gain the approval of other people, not to gain the approval of other people in church, not to gain some sort of favor from God. We are already accepted in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. But we say, Lord, I want to please You because You have loved me so much. I know I'm not going to necessarily get anything more from the good that I do, but God, I don't care. I just want to love You and show that I love You. And so let's make sure we have those hearts that truly want God to be seen, God to be known, that we would take time to be holy, that we would speak often with our Lord, spending time with Him in secret, feeding on His Word, so that we can grow our hearts to love Him more and more. And that's how we develop a heart of diligence. Next week, we'll look at the specific areas that Proverbs mentions we should be diligent in our lives. We've given different examples as we go throughout. But let's just take some time even now to meditate and say, okay, Lord, where is my heart? Where is my life? What is it in my life that needs to change? I'll pray and then we'll just have a moment of quiet meditation. There'll be some piano music as well playing. But once I'm done praying, let's just keep our head bowed and our eyes closed, and I'll pray in closing one more time. But just meditate on what God would have us to change. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts. Lord, often we know that there are general areas of our lives that need to change, but I pray that you would even point out specifics to us. Help us be able to get to the heart of the problem and to recognize the thoughts and the desires and intents of our hearts so we can change them, Lord, to have a love and a focus on you. Lord, please give us a heart that loves you. May we constantly desire and push ourselves toward that. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's just take some time and meditate on what God has taught us, and that we would ask him to show us and to search our heart, show us where we need to change.